too black, too strong.
Yo, check this out. Chuck D, Public Enemy number one, definitely doing the thing with my man Mo Train's Tracks. That's right, back to the tracks. Keep it up. Peace.
Yo, what's up, listeners worldwide? You are listening to Mo Train's Tracks. This is Mo at Bonnaroo, Manchester, Tennessee. Mo Train's Tracks sat down backstage with one of the most influential hip-hop MCs of all time. That MC I'm talking about is Chuck D from Public Enemy. All that hip-hop you're listening to today has been influenced in some way by the way that Public Enemy brought music to a political and social consciousness. With tracks like Public Enemy number one, Yo Bum Rush's Show, Don't Believe the Hype, Bring the Noise, 911 is a Joke, Burn Hollywood Burn and more, Public Enemy has made an everlasting imprint on the music industry. So sit back and take a true listen as Chuck D drops some knowledge on you here on Mo Train's Tracks.
Chuck D, here with Chuck D, the legendary MC, Public Enemy. In the 80s, you pioneered politically and socially conscious rap music. Do you feel that that's something that's lacking in the genre today?
I think people, when they ask me that question, need to ask me, do you think it's lacking in the United States? And I would say, well, yes, the maintenance of it is lacking, but it's all over the world. I think one of the problems that most Americans have is that they don't understand what has evolved in hip-hop is that it's super global. And the United States is like one of the places that it does it. And does it do it better than all the other places? I don't know. When you got guys that spit three languages, how do you weigh that? Right. I mean, how do you weigh it? You weigh it because you live in the United States. This is it. So it's like covering the Phillies. You live in Philly, so I'm covering the Phillies. So, you know, outside of Ryan Howard, you know, I don't know what's going on. But that's my answer there. It's like political rap, you cannot be around in the rest of the world and not say something that resonates with the people. You cannot. It's just, it doesn't exist. And it's just hundreds and thousands of rappers out there. Whether it's them Arabic MCs that's in Palestine, talking about that, you know, that friction over there. Whether it's like my man Envy Bill and Eli Effie from Brazil. You know, we talk about 30 years of recorded musical science. So this is the thing that I think and I hope that the hip-hop nation here understands that you got to comprehend it. It's past your head. What's the exposure? BET, MTV, right, in your local urban radio station? Obviously, if you limit it to two or three places that you could name and you say that that's the epitome of exposure, and whatever is being said out there can't get on there. It must be another ulterior motive. We in the days, man, MySpace pages, Twitter, YouTube accounts. I mean, what do you want to include and what do you not want to include? I think that the major labels' dominance of saying this is official, I think that's been over. I don't know why people keep holding it up. Let me tell you why it's no excuse. You cover hip-hop, right? Sports fan?
Absolutely.
Do you ever hear a sports journalist talk about activities in high school, JV, college being lost? They cover everything. Everything gets covered. Even damn near the playground gets covered. And one gets covered. Hip-hop, it's just like, it's the level of laziness of going past what's thrown at you. Well, I mean, no offense. It's tons of cats out there doing it. What's the level of coverage is only going to depend on how legitimate that the coverage wants to consider itself. They say, oh, we just want to cover, you know, if Def Jam releases something, we'll follow that. You know, if it don't come through like this, you know, this Warner imprint, if it doesn't come to, you know, if we don't know about it, we ain't going to cover it. Now you're in the day of MySpace pages, man. I think diligence have to go to it. And, you know, it's got to be like, well, I'm not getting paid, so I do this. I follow because I love it. Like I said, I'm a sports fan. And they don't let a pitch go by without figuring out, was that 94 or was that 83 miles per hour coming from this college kid that's playing a college game that might be meaningless between two teams. It's still being documented.
They can tell you every speed of every pitch count. Yeah.
It's still being documented.
You were a consultant on the Let Freedom Sing project. You wrote the liner notes, right? Describe that compilation's significance.
Compilation's significance is because especially black people use a portal of music and expressed ourselves through other ways where we couldn't express ourselves to the masses just by speaking alone. You know, there's often times where you said the poets and the artists would have to say something that would just penetrate the veil of racism and do it in such a way that you know, speaking for what's right is colorless. You know, it don't matter what color you are, you speak for what's right versus what's wrong. That's why on that box set, it's everybody from blues artists to Pete Seeger. And using music, being that we were people and are people that follow music a little bit more closely because of that history of it being this expression when you couldn't really express yourself, you know, it meant that much more. So a lot of people say, yeah, look, this is how I feel, so I'm going to hum it and sing it so I won't get beat down maybe or killed.
Spread your wings, dog.
When you guys were coming up, you came up with the roots of hip-hop as artists.
Oh, yeah.
As artists.
Yeah, because I was getting ready to say, man, when I was coming up, there was no such thing as rap records or
no,
hip-hop.
No.
Even when I graduated out of 12th grade, if somebody would said I would be making records, I'm like, you out of your mind doing what kind of records? You know, yeah, Earth, Wind & Fire, Commodores, that type of thing going on. But, yeah, 80s.
With your music, with how politically fueled it was, when you say about your color didn't see color, you appeal to the masses. It appealed to me as a kid. I was a kid in the suburbs. Mm-hmm. You spoke to me. You spoke to the kids in the ghetto. Mm-hmm. What did it mean for you to get your message out there so strong and have the type of influence as Malcolm X influenced you? You have a voice in a different way, but you have a voice to the masses where you can speak to millions of people and get your message across.
No, number one, you're thankful, but it does not doesn't start with you and doesn't end with you. You got to be humble to all those things that were able to give you the platform, and it's not about you. You know, one of the greatest things I heard President Barack Obama say last year when he was actually at the Democratic nomination is like, he said, hey, it ain't about me. It's about, you know, us as a people. And if this is out there and I see it, you see something, say something. And I just think that goes across the board. I think one of the worst things that ever came that attached itself to the culture of hip-hop in a very wrong and misconstrued way is when they come across and say, stop snitching, and not even know the true idea or essence of where it comes from. That's why you got to know your history or have an old head not afraid to tell a young head, this is where it comes from. Yeah, you do your thing, but just know where it comes from and know the right way. This whole thing of older heads mixing with younger people to try to appeal to them and be fly with them, I think is a discouragement, and it is discrediting young people from living their life. I think the responsibility from an older person to a younger person, say, yo, man, you know, you do your thing, but, you know, let's look out, you know, boom, 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 and it would keep it moving or whatever. No ulterior motive, like, oh, I hope you love me, I hope you like me, I hope you dig me, I hope you buy me, you know, I'm 35 years old, you're 21, I'm gonna, yo, support me. I'm like, yeah, there's not a reason to support you. You know, young people want to support their circle of things. You just want older people to give them guidance, because knowledge, wisdom, and understanding don't come in a microwave. And that's our roles. That's our objective. When you don't do that, and you're like, oh, I ain't nobody, I can't say nothing, I feel like, you know, I don't want to be preachy, then what you're saying is that I don't want to be older. I don't want to grow older. I might as well have died when I was young. And I think that has hurt hip hop. Not being able to, like, if you're 36 years old. And the other day I got a list of like rappers, right? And the list was like 30 deep. And everybody was like 30 and over. And the latter half of 20 of them were like 36 and over. How could you be 37 years old and not say something to somebody young that somebody young, you know, could grow off of? Like we say, drop jewels, and you keep it moving. It's no excuse not to be men and women. And I'm not saying, you know, to say that it's one type of man that some or woman that somebody should be, but it's got to, I mean, being a man and being a woman, it means your mind. It's like you got to drop somebody young. Oh, yeah, cool, do your thing, you know. Be at the whoop, 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 you know, in the club, whatever, you know. If you see somebody trying to act like that, well, I got the world's oldest teenager with me, but let's just be exceptions. Everybody can't be like that.
So you're a little bit older. Has your message been received well by the people?
Always. Number one, ain't nobody else my child than my children. But I'm going to be like that older brother figure. It's like, yeah, cool, do your thing. Boom. If you're going to ask me a question, I'm going to give you an answer. If you're going to ask me, yo, what's up, old head? You know, can you give me like some wisdom on this? Boom, 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 boom. I'll give you what I could give you. If I don't know, I'm going to try to say, hey, this might be an answer you could use. That's our responsibility. That's our accountability. You know, it's been received all over the world, and I'm thankful for that. And if it had to come through the portal of rap music and hip hop, I'm doubly thankful for that. I'm very honored and I'm blessed. And there's no excuse not to hold my head up high.
That's right. So what do you think about Bonnaroo?
Bonnaroo is a wonderful thing. Whenever you could get groups to come together and play in front of the masses, and giving the massive festivals this opportunity for people who would not check you out on your own to catch you by default. And Public Enemy was one of the first rap groups to play festivals. You know, festivals were a common thing in different continents because economically it was the thing that would work for maybe countries that just didn't have this plethora of a financial situation. But now that the U.S. economy has dipped down and shifted gears, it's like, okay, festivals work, and promoters taking two or three acts across in arenas and stadiums is not looked upon as being feasible. Although the arenas and stadiums are brand new in many cases and need and have a big interest nut to pay. They got to fill them, but like other than Major League Sports, which is another pressing matter, they're trying to get it filled. And I think Bonnaroo, the Warped Tour, which was 15 years ago, was able to take parking lots and make that feasible. You know, at the end of the day, it's like somebody has to say, okay, I paid the price. It didn't kick my ass, but if it did kick my ass, I want a show to kick my ass and make me say that's the best thing I've ever paid for and it was worthwhile. You got to give people more for what they spend, and you got to give them an experience, and that's the gift of music. And what I try to tell many artists and hip-hop artists really include is like, don't let your art overtake your responsibility as a performance artist. The whole key is to bust your videos and your songs, bust them in the ass when you're live. That's the best way that you share your experience with that audience. And that makes them go back to the music. Not the music first makes you come to, yeah, in a way, but really records came from the fact that I went to see Duke Ellington. Blew me away. What can I take home other than the ringing in my head? And that's where that evolved out of. Once that became a business, then it flipped back the other way. We can't lose sight of that. But it's easy to lose sight of it because people are distant from the history of even the things that they like. SportsCenter, when it comes on ESPN, it behooves that they show it 6 times so their followers will not be stupid in the afternoon. So by the afternoon, you're up to speed. You know, we like to see the same in rap music and hip hop.
So we have to say to people that haven't quite made the trip to Bonnaroo.
It's a wonderful festival. It's in the Southeast. There's a lot of people in the Southeast that probably can't make it out west to or up north to the other festivals that are in those different parts. If you don't catch it, you know, we're in a highly technological age. It's no excuse not to pop on YouTube and catch somebody's filming of it.
You've been one of the most vocal activists for peer-to-peer file sharing on the internet. Where would you like to see the music industry be in the future?
Music industry is healthy. I like to see the record industry become more supportive and the music industry become even more supportive of providing platforms for artists to be able to come at a grassroots performing level and really try to help a great minor leaguing, maybe single A level of artists doing their thing and let that cream rise to that next level. You know, one thing you have in sports, not to go back into the sports analogy, somebody always has a chance to try out for JV or varsity. Not to say they're going to make the team, but they have a chance to try out. Well, a person should have a chance to try out as an artist somewhere. Not to say that they, you know, this whole thing, I got to blow up. Well, if you can't do your thing, if you can't be supportive of blow up in your local, down the block, then why should you even be bigger, you know? So I would, you know, I've always asked for radio. How come, if you want to say urban radio, how come it doesn't support its local? If an Indianapolis radio station calls itself the home of hip hop and R&B, and the only thing you play is groups that get signed to major labels from LA and New York, and even Atlanta artists, they'll play the Atlanta artists only because if they're legitimized by the New York and LA companies. I'm like, you can't have no legitimacy that way, man. So I would like to see the structures be more giving to, my wife says it best, territory bands were a big thing in the early parts of last century. Territory bands. You really succeeded in maxing out your territory before you moved on into other territories. We need to see that rap music and hip hop. If not, it's going to be this thing of, oh, we signed this person. No one knows who this person is. We're going to put this big galvanizing steroid of a marketing plan behind them. I hope everybody gets and blows up. I mean, that's ass backwards, and because it worked at one time in our past doesn't mean that's the right way.
What's the future hold for Chuck D?
Getting on the stage and try to defy time.
All right, Chuck, thanks for your time, man.
Yeah, right. And I'll leave you guys my card.